He gives me strength, and he gives me power. He's my friend. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He gives me strength. He gives me power. He gives me hope.
Oh, yes,
and
he
gives me power. Oh, he gives me hope.
Oh,
in the darkest hour, he is my Jesus. He is my friend. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He gives me strength.
Oh, yes,
and he gives me power. He gives me hope.
Praise God. I know I'm glad I have a hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad I have I know where my strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. It comes from His people and the church. And I'm appreciative of that. I'm glad to be able to come on a Wednesday night. Glad for a little bit cooler weather. Thank you, Lord. Something to be thankful about. I thought I was going to die last couple of weeks. I thought that But I found, you know, I thought, boy, I've come down here and it's gotten hot. It's humid. But then I found out that same humidity was up in Springfield. It was about to die up there too. And but then I thought, well, I'm getting acclimated to this. I'm not liking it, but I'm starting to get used to it. Then Monday morning, I hopped on a motorcycle and it was a little bit cold heading to work. And I thought, boy, this is almost like fall's hit here. And so I've had some like this weather. I know July's around the corner, or it is July now. Today's July the 1st. This is going to be here in August, isn't it, the hottest 2 months? But if we can survive, I can survive the last 2 weeks, I think I can survive the rest of the summer. But I get up, come home. I thought I'm going to get home a little early and take a little nap, so I have a little, get a little nap in before I go to church. And so I feel a little refreshed. Now, the Sunday night, I was waiting for my second wind to kick in. I think my second wind's kicked in tonight. I want to welcome our visitor tonight. She came with Sister Ann Thompson here, Kathy Kent. Glad to have you. You're from Mississippi, I guess, right? Glad you come be with us tonight. And is this Ken, folks? No? Yeah, okay. Long-time friend. We're glad you came with us. I imagine that the Thompsons are a little glassed. We got a little relief in the heat. Maybe ACs ain't working as overtime as hard this week. So that may catch a break for the middle of July and August kick in. Well, I wanted to receive the prayer request and the missionary offering tonight. And so if you have any prayer requests, and I know we do, we got a lot of needs, a lot of things are happening in today's world and time. I don't want to paint a doom and gloom picture, but reality is that there's a lot where our blessings have kind of run down in America, and times are getting harder, and so therefore we've got a lot more needs. Sister Elsie. Sister Gail's wanting to come on down here and She's got some things to tidy up back home before she gets down here. And so just pray for Sister Gail and pray for Dave as well. I know that Brother Dave, when he gets in the Holy Ghost, and that's what Dave needs right now. He needs a good dose of the Holy Ghost. You never seen quite a manifestation like you see Brother Dave get in the Spirit. And it encourages him for a long time. And I'd like to see him. I know if he could come down here, have a good couple doses, he'd be right back in the saddle, somebody said. So let's pray for them. And, yes.
Sister Jackie Tucker.
More the senior type diabetes. Yeah. So we need to pray for Sister Jackie Tucker.
She has quite a few complications.
Okay.
And she's going to have to be home for a week or two more before she can come to church.
Okay.
So she asked for a prayer.
Sister Jackie Tucker asked for a prayer. She's been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and it's kind of a more of a geriatric type diabetes, I think it says, and she's got complications and keep causing her to stay home, but they think she'll get her through that where she can be back with us on a regular basis. Keep her in your prayers. Sister Fisher. Sister Wilkins is sick. And Sister Abraham is sick. I don't see Sister Rice here. She may be. She had company tonight. All right. Keep praying for my home to sell. Brother Boyd's home to sell. And I know that that's a real burden on us right now. We gotta get our home sold. And aren't we glad though that Brother and Sister York are here? Yeah. Got their home sold and they're Little Rockers now. That's what I don't think I even like the way the Arkansan sounds. So I like Little Rocker better. Arkansawyers. Arkies. Now there ain't I'm down here in East End, ain't no hills down there. I'm East Ender. That's right. Yes, Brother McGowan. He's not with us tonight. There's many that are working, Sister Thompson. Charge more money. I gotta run some of it off. Okay, we'll pray for them. That's it. In all seriousness, we do know that kind of that business. Middle of summer, the middle of winter, it's feasting, and then fall and spring, it can kind of loosen up a little bit. But they've had a good year so far, I believe. So let's pray for them. Pray for them and their feast, and pray for me and my famine. Sister Jerry, I mean Sister Sandra. Yes. Sister York's children and her grandson, they need your prayers. They definitely need your prayers. Chelsea? I knew it. Knew once Meemaw got down here, he couldn't keep Terry away. Let's pray for him spiritually as well as naturally. You get to around him and get to talking to him. He's got a tender heart toward God, and I know that he's another one. When let the Spirit touch him a few times in a row, and he's back on fire. He's up there. I think if he had been closer to church up there in Missouri, it'd probably been easier for him to get in. But he lived like an hour and a half away, or a little over an hour away, and it was hard for him to come. So let's. Just keep Terry Ratliff in your prayers, the whole Ratliff family. All right, let's stand, take these needs before the Lord. Receive the missionary offering. All the offerings tonight goes to the missionary fund. Lord, we give you thanks. Heavenly Father, come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, died for our sins, and restored that he took not away, oh God. We come to you, Lord, with so many needs. And we were promised that we wouldn't be given a serpent if we were asked for a fish, or a stone if we asked for bread. And we have many needs, oh God. Ones that need to sell their houses. Ones that are sick, oh God. Ones that need direction in the business. And so many that have spiritual needs. And, and they're trying to get back to your kingdom. Oh God, we come to you, Father. Oh Father, be merciful, oh God, and receive our prayer. Answer our request, oh God. Oh Jesus, bless the one, your children tonight as they give to help those that are abroad around the globe, oh God, down the Dominican Republic and Mexico and the Philippines and Haiti. Oh Lord, where you're working with your word. Oh dear Jesus. Oh God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name and your name. Hallelujah. We ask you. Amen. Pants.
Appreciated those songs, Sister Bryant led us in tonight, of just knowing that we can draw strength from the Lord. And Lord knows I've needed it here lately. I didn't think the last 2 weeks would ever come to an end. I kept thinking, I wish I could wiggle my nose and it'd all be done. I said, I don't think I've ever worked that hard in my entire life, but it's over with. And my husband got kind of tickled at me. I said, I'm going to go down there, and for the first 2 days, I'm not doing one thing. Of course, I couldn't stand it. That was a mess up there, trying to put everything away, so I had to do something. But I have took it pretty easy the last 2 days, and I needed it, though. I guess I kind of played a trick on myself when it came down to leaving. I knew it was going to be hard to leave those grandkids. I mean, I love my children, but, you know, they've grown up and left me before, and it's just different with when they're little. I don't know. I love my kids, but those grandkids is what was tearing me worse than my kids was. I hate to say that, but it's the truth, and they know it too, so I'm not saying something they don't know. But I thought, okay, now this is what I'm going to tell myself. I had to psych myself all up. I didn't want to fall apart in front of Vivian. So I said, okay, now you're going down like you've been doing. You're going down, you're going to visit Doug, and your stuff's all still in Missouri. It's in storage. You haven't really moved yet. All your stuff's still there. So you're just going to visit. And I'll see you. I'll see him next weekend. We already had a family thing planned for next weekend with Doug's family in Tulsa, so they'll be there. And I said, well, I'll only be a week before I'll see him again. So I managed to get away with just a few little tears. I didn't have a nervous breakdown or nothing like I thought it was. So anyway, I just had to do that so I could keep myself together. But it's not that I don't know this is, you know, I know this is where we're supposed to be, and I have no problem with that. I just know it's going to take a while, and I'll have to do some adjusting. And I made a list and put on my refrigerator several months ago, and things I wanted, you know, in a house. I wanted to live where I felt safe, because I'm just a country girl. I've lived in country growing up, and where we lived in Republic, you could just leave your doors open and stuff, and like it was almost like in the country where we lived in town. But that was my main concern. I want to live someplace I feel safe, and I listed other things about a house. I wanted shade trees. I wanted a big yard. I wanted lots of closets, those kind of girly things. And I put on the last thing on the list was number 15. And I said, and last but not least, I want my kids and my grandkids close to me. So I'm just trusting the Lord. He's going to do that for me. It'll take a miracle for them to move. I know, you know, they've moved off and left me before, but I've never moved off and left them. So they don't totally understand it. Vivian keeps saying, Grandma, why are you picking church over family? And I know she didn't come up with that on her own. I said, honey, I'm not picking church over family. This is just what God wants me to do. I have to obey the Lord. I got to be in God's will more than anything else. And so she says, okay, well, I'm moving with you. And I said, well, that'd be okay, but I don't think your mom and dad would allow it. But she said, oh, yes, they would. But I know better. But I'm just trusting God that he's going to work it all out for us, and we'll find a home that, you know, that's doesn't have to be a mansion by any means, or fancy, just something that feels like home. I just feel at home with everyone here. You're already in my heart, and I just love you all. And just pray for us that the Lord will help us just ease into this transition that we're going through. I love y'all.
what got us here today. And the realization, there's kind of a comfort in that, in the sense that, you know, there's some things that I wish I, you know, not really happy that I did, or roads that I've traveled down. But then when you realize that that is what it took for God to get us to the point to where we're at today, there's a comfort in that, you know, that it wasn't all in vain, you know. And of course, that God was there with me through all those trials and the choices that I make, and that He kept me, and that His protection was on my life. And that is a very good feeling to know, that you have a God that watches over your life, even when you're not in His goodwill, I guess you would call it. So I'm very thankful that He watched over me and kept me through the times that I wasn't serving Him. And you know, this guy and I was talking about how even when you're out in the world and you're doing wrong, you knew that it was wrong. And some people don't really have that. They don't have those principles in their life. You know, you have to have those principles in your life to be convicted that it is even wrong in the first place. And I'd never really looked at it like that. That the school and the church and my mom and dad and the Bible verses that I learned when I was growing up and just the way that I was raised, I mean, I knew that it put building a foundation in my life, but I never realized fully how much of one until we were kind of talking about that, and how, you know, just because you have the knowledge to do right doesn't mean that you're following it. And but it is still there, and eventually, you know, we were talking, you're eventually going to harden your heart to the principles that have been put into you, and in a sense overcome them and become dead to that, or they're strong enough in your life that it's going to bring you back to God on your knees, and He's going to be able to work with those principles and those and that foundation that was put into your life and build something on that. And that was kind of a shocking realization to realize. I mean, that's pretty deep, some pretty deep stuff when you think of things like that. And I'm just thankful that there was enough placed in my life that God could continue to touch my heart and continue to, I guess, till the ground. You know, a lot of the times I think of our hearts. You know, sometimes I know that when I don't go up and, like if I feel like I should get prayed for, and I don't do that like 10 or 15 times in a row, I know that that's going to create kind of a hardness in my heart because I'm not listening to God. And so I often think of that as, you know, when you listen to Him, or as He's working on you, He's tilling that soil up. He's getting the rocks out. He's making it smooth so that He can place those things in that field that He needs to grow and that He wants to grow, which is, you know, the things that He wants to grow in our life so that we can serve Him better and so that we can grow to a maturity in Christ. So I'm really thankful that there was enough placed in my life at an early age, and that God had enough of His hand in my life that He could work with me for all these years just to get me to this point where I'm at today, which I know that I'm not, you know, where I need to be, but I'm not where I used to be either. So I realized, you know, that I'm really not who I used to be, you know, and that there are things that have died in my life to a big degree to make me who I am today. And I'm very, very thankful for that. And God just really helping me to grow and to realize things about how He has dealt with me all these years, and that it is for a purpose. The purpose that I can grow in Him and reach a higher place in Him. So I'm really thankful for that. And thankful to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm thankful for God's mercy and His grace and His blessings and His protection on my life.
I wanted to thank everybody for their prayers and everything they've done. I know some brought food. I don't remember who or what, but I was real confused during all that time. I don't even remember who all was up there, but I was told that a lot of people came up, but I really do appreciate your prayers. And Sister Yvonne, you got a treat. This is the most wonderful place in the world. These people are just the sweetest people you've ever, ever met. And not just when you come in, it's all the time. And I'm just in love. I fell head over heels. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord is doing in my life. And also, Gail's going to be coming down. I'm so excited about that. That meeting that we had Saturday, somebody was saying how you can hear things over and over, and sometimes one little preacher can come in and say it again, and all of a sudden, hello, it wakes you up. Well, the little man that, the friend of, I don't know what his name was. Yes. She heard him talk on, and I've told her, and I know, Brother Smith, you've gone over it many times and different ones, but it wasn't until she heard it from him that she has to put God first, and the rest will follow. Put the kids on the altar, but you've got to get your own salvation and get your own self where you need to be, and God will take care of the rest of your family. And it finally hit her. But anyway, I talked to her every day, and she says, oh, Mom, I'm so happy. She said, I'm so happy I got there to that meeting, because she said it really did a lot for me. And she said, I need a lot of prayer, though. So I said, well, that's no problem. We got a bunch here. So anyway, I'm just so happy to be here.
I hear someone say, and I say it myself, that I really don't have much to say tonight. I hate hearing those words, and I hate saying them even worse. But sometimes it's true. But sometimes you guys have to get up and let God fill your mouth. And I'm just thankful to be here. This is a city of refuge. Even when the crowd is slim and everybody's kind of come in from the heat and the bustle of the day and this and that, you come in here and you may be strung out, you may have a headache, you may have all the cares of your job on your mind or your family or whatever, but then you come in here and without even realizing it, it's gone. It's like it just unconsciously just kind of evaporates. And I think, sometimes we have to thank God for the little things, and I really don't know that that's that little of a thing. Now, that's a major thing. That's a thing to be very thankful for. And I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters and what peace we have to find here, not just in the presence of the Lord, but in the presence of each other. I mean, you come in here and you see faces and hear testimonies, and sometimes Sister Elsie was saying a minute ago, that sometimes it's the smallest thing that's said that jumps out at you. It's that little thing, and then you realize that somebody else is going through the exact same thing I'm going through, just in the when I'm driving around, it's odd, when you drive by yourself all day long. I put a lot of miles, probably, I don't know, maybe close to 1,000 miles a week easy in my car, and probably about 1,000, and I think that a lot of times all that windshield time is it's a place for the devil to work, because you've either got talk radio on and you're filling your mind with that junk, or you get tired of that junk and you turn it off, and then you start stewing well, I can't believe they said this, they said that, and then you work yourself. It's like I work for a trucking company, and we always say if a union ever comes into a company, it always comes in through your line haul drivers, because they're the ones that, you know, they're making $70,000-$90,000 a year with a high school education, but they are the most unhappy bunch of people you've ever seen in your life, because they're by themselves all the time. That's all they think about is, I can't believe I had a two-hour layover in Nashville. They made me wait 30 minutes in Birmingham. They're not thinking about that $80,000 paycheck they're getting. And I think about, you know, that's why the Bible says, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together sometimes. If we just get off by ourselves, and that's all we think about is our troubles, and it's what we tend to dwell on. And when I think about that, I was like, you know, how in the world could we make it by ourselves? I know I couldn't. I couldn't make it without Sister Tally working on me. No, I'm just kidding. I can't make it without Sister Tally, and leave the working on me off. That's like saying, you know, you look great in that dress, honey, but the second you add something to it, it's all over. So I'll leave the working on me off, Sister Tally, I promise. But I really appreciate all my brothers and sisters from Republic and from here as well. I mean, it's going to be a melting pot, and I appreciate the sacrifices. I appreciate on both sides, and I think that we're all going to come together, and it's going to be a great thing. You know, I had a man come to my house earlier today, and he's a roofer, and I had a bunch of hail damage, and I will tell you this: this is unrelated to church or anything, but if you don't think you've got any hail damage, you might want to get an insurance adjuster out to look at your roof, because there's a lot of hail damage out there right now. So just word to the wise, you might have a new roof in your future. But anyway, this man had come to church here about 3 or 4 years ago, and I don't remember him. Said he brought it, him and his wife and his son came, and I told him, I said, you need to come back. You need to come back and see what God's doing here. And I hope he does. I hope he does, because, I mean, it's time. And I don't know how, you know, Brother Smith talks about how, you know, this church could easily, you know, take care of 200 people. Well, that's, somebody's going to have, something's going to have to bring them in. And it's, I know God, you know, God adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. But at the same time, God works through us. And if I have to do my part, I think, you know, many times about, you know, the term serving God, and what does serving God mean? You know, really, you know, God doesn't need anything that I have. He deserves everything I have, but he doesn't need anything I have. So how do I serve God? When it gets right down to the bottom line, the only way I can serve God is by serving his people. And then if I'm not to judge who's his people and who's not his people, I'm supposed to serve everybody. That's what I'm here for. So that's the sermon for tonight, as far as I'm concerned. Brother Smith, you can go home now. We're good. But I am thankful to be. I wanted to stand and thank the Lord for all he's done for me and all he's continued to do for this church, and I just want to go on.
I'm here for you, Brother Brad. I'm just for you. I get up and I come to service. And I go on with the Lord just knowing that I'm doing a work that would be pleasing for Brother Brad. And I thank the Lord for, because he's worthy of all praise. He's worthy. You know, when Brother Tyrone, when he was saying maybe he was out there doing something, but maybe he was just in God's good will. And I got to think about his good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I thank the Lord that he gives us an opportunity to work for him until he shows us how to work with him. How he allows us to work together in this assembly or out when Brother Brett was talking about serving God, you know, and remember Brother Tucker talking about how can you wait upon the Lord, and talked about the different ways wait a waiter or a waitress, someone that serves. And, you know, we can come in and come together and worship and lift him up in this place. But when we go out there, like Sister Watson was saying the other night, people read your life. You know, you might be the only Bible that's, some people read. Because, you know, they're watching. They're watching what you do, what you say, how you act, how you dress, especially if you dress a certain way. They watch you to see why, you know, what goes with that. And I began to thank the Lord, because Sister Crow said one time, people are concerned about those type things, but what we're concerned about is pleasing the King. Well, we're not concerned about these rags. They used to call them rags, didn't they? These clothes are presenting them unto God, but that inward being that's renewed day by day, how we present it unto Him, how we can humble ourselves before Him. And you think in the Bible, when something happened, how they would, in fact, they would undress and put on sackcloth and ashes. And I used to think, well, if they undressed and put on sackcloth, what was that? A rag? They just wrapped around themselves and then put the ashes on? I never did understand that. But to think about the humility is what I think every time I read that, about humbling and going down where you're putting off those things that would hinder you from contacting God, by reaching out and touching the hem of His garment, by reaching out and letting your innermost being be submissive to His will, and you can feel His power, because you're getting all those other things out of the way and clearing them so that you have that straight path to the Father. And I thank the Lord for it. I thank Him for His people. I thank Him for all of you that's moving down here from Missouri. And thank the Lord for our visitor. I've seen her for probably a year, year and a half, 2 years. Been invited to church several times. I'm just so glad that she came to be with us. And I thank the Lord because He's got people everywhere. You know, you meet them in the grocery stores. You meet them in the shopping centers. I don't know if it's this economy that we're in that's pushing people closer to God, but you just hear that. And some people, it's just a byword, bless you, have a blessed day, you know. But, you know, the fact that it's being said lets me take the positive avenue and say, you be blessed. Yes. You know, peace unto you. That if we'll hold on, I was listening to Donald Lawrence the other day, and he was talking about the economy. And he was saying that people are worried about the investments and the stockbrokers and how the banks are failing and all this. He said they're looking it after man's point of view. But that's not how he takes his look at the economy. He looks at it from the Word of God. He says, if you give, it shall be given unto you. So no matter what falls around us, he knows that he's rich, because he knows as long as he gives, as long as he's giving his tithes, blessing people, giving unto others, he knows that it's God is obligated to respond to that. And I thought about that. You know, I don't know him. I just know his name. I've seen him, you know, on pictures or in books, you know. But all those different things, if I'll accept that, you know, and accept that little Sister Radcliffe, that your daughter, God, she got that finally. And I thought, here a little, there a little. It doesn't matter who it came from or how you got it. It matters that I got it. And I thank the Lord, because I know as long as I keep on receiving these little tidbits, they'll mount up to be what God has for me.
keeping his hands on me, and I want to thank God for our new family, our extended family. That was wonderful. I can imagine how that feel to leave your grandbaby behind, but she's not far. I know she's here, you know. But I'm glad to see you and Brother York made it here, and Selene and Sister Radcliffe. You know, it was always in my prayers. And when we was in the campground, we were worried about you. Yeah, so, and I just want, and our company, you know, glad to see you. And I just want to get up and thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. To hear someone say, God's grace is sufficient. You know, that's a little bit, but that's a lot, you know. It's a lot, and you have to come to the realization that he put that in there for you to trust him, that his grace is sufficient no matter what we go through or what we think we can't handle. He always makes a way for us. His grace is sufficient. I know it's another part to that scripture that, you know, the trials and tests you go through, he's able to see you through. His grace is sufficient. I mean, I think I'm not quoting it right, but, and to know that in my heart, I just know I feel a safety there, that, you know. And I was reading in the Old Testament, and Brother Smith, when he mentioned that one day, that, and they went to the cave, you know, and one time I went, what did we do, Brother Brad? We went to the caves, the Lost Valley. Is that the name of it? I went to the Lost Valley. Oh my God, you invited me to the Lost Valley. Well, we climbed up to the Lost Valley, and it was a journey to climb up to that Lost Valley. But when you go in there, and that was my first time ever being in a cave, and when Brother Smith was talking about the being in a cave, it was a safe place. And I'm like, when I was in that cave from my experience in the natural experience, how cool it was in there, you know. And you felt, you know, I was a little scared with some bats in there, but, you know, he told me, if you don't mess with them, they won't mess with you. But in that cave, and, you know, when David was running from Saul, he was in a cave. He hid in a cave. You know, I said, there is safety in there. I said, Lord, if I just yield my will to you, and I get in this cave, and I know you are watching me, you protecting me. No matter what trial or test I'm going through, I'm in this cool, quiet, peaceful place with God, and he's protecting me. And then we had this message Sunday about God's seven spirits, and to know that Holy Ghost, It's my friend, it's my strength. You know, if I just touch God, as you said, touch the hem of God, touch his hem, and I could just feel his presence, you know. And to know, you know, Brother Smith, I know how you were saying that the seven spirits of God, you know, the fear of God, I got to have that in my heart. I got to have that in my heart to when I walk every day, you know, no matter where I'm at work, at home, that God name, Jesus, comes out of my, it's my conversation. And you know, that's the fear of God in me. Everything I do, everything I say, I want you to know, it's all about God. You know, it's not about me. It's all about God. It's what he is planting in my heart. It's how he's protecting me. It's how he loves me. And he takes care of me. He's my friend. And he says he'll never leave us. And, you know, so to hear and to believe, that's, you know, I have to believe and trust that his word will never, it will never come be void. It's got to be planted in my heart. His word is going to make me strong. It's going to open my eyes. It's going to let me see what God is doing in this world today, that I don't worry about what's going on in the world, that my focus is on God and listening to the ministry and reaching out and touching his spirit, and, you know, knowing that his spirit is what's guiding and giving us strength and giving us that comfort and that joy. I think someone hollered at about three times the other day. It was in a song, wasn't it, Brother Smith? Mike Smith, did you sing something like that? That joy, that joy, that joy that God plants in our heart when we are yielding to Him and letting our will just die. Oh, I've had so many dreams of that, killing that old man and dying out. Oh, God, help me to die out to this old flesh. And so when I was talking to the Lord this weekend, I said, Lord, I say, Your word says, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And then Brother Smith, you brought it to our, or someone did, it might have been Brother Submiller, I heard about your will. I think you was telling us that Sunday, we just have to let it go. We have to let God's will be done in our life. And so no matter what we go through, that burden is not as heavy as I think it is or I pout about. But I think the closer I get to God, the more I trust Him, yes, those burdens do become lighter. But if I struggle and fight and don't want to go through it, and then my mind said, well, I don't understand that scripture about His burdens are light. And so I got to thinking and talking to God about it, and I said, well, God, and Sister Tally just reminded me, it rains on the unjust and just alike. But my God, you know, you get to reading that, he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. So I know the difference between that burden that that unjust person is going through and that burden that I'm going through. That Comforter. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a peace of mind to know that God is my friend. And He loves me. So I just can't give you all my heart. I don't know if I put all the thoughts together, but God is good and He loves me. And this is a wonderful place. I know when I first came back to church, I kind of had a vision, Brother Smith, and I told Brother Lineker about it, I think. And it seemed so real. That was this lady. You saw a vision of a white gown, kind of up in that corner, and it was like all these people coming into this place. And I said, I asked Brother Lineker about it, and he said he told me that was the church. It's a safe place, and then he told me, make sure you get up under your minister, you know, keep your head covered. And I thought that was wonderful to hear him tell me that. So that stayed with me a long, it's still with me, you know, that I have a vision, and that was a revelation for me of where I'm at and where God has placed me. And it's just a wonderful, safe place to be. And in that cave, Brother Smith, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that cave and that's being in that safe place. I thought, and I've been in a natural cave, and you know, with Brad, I don't know why I was traveling with him, but but he wanted Osmonique to go, so that means I had to go with him. So we had fun, but that was an experience, Brother Brad. And so it's a wonderful, it's a lovely family here. I just love the Lord.
I want to announce that Saturday the 11th, which would be a week from this coming Saturday, we need to have a work day to get ready for the youth meeting. Primarily, we need to get the gym situated. And Brother TJ's offered to do our gym floor for us like he did downstairs. Also, He left us a buffer and some spray wax to spray buff the dining room floor. I don't think it's been done since he did the floor, but it certainly needs it. So if anyone would like to help us with that, I'll be glad to show them how to do it if they don't know. But so Saturday the 11th, say 8:30 in the morning, we have a work day to get ready for the youth meeting. Hopefully we won't have to have it one. See how it works. It is the body of Christ is a safe place. It's a safe place to to be covered of the Lord. God's prepared this place for his people. A lot of people, you know, I'm sure in the world don't understand. They think church, just going to church, is some people think it's good to do, or to do it once in a while, especially on Easter and Christmas and holidays, that are religious holidays especially, but really the Lord set up having his people come together and having a ministry to minister the word of God through gifts of the Holy Ghost. If y'all will permit me, I'll just sit down here and talk a little bit. Maybe I'm really exhausted today, and I don't know if I got overheated or what, but anyway, the Lord chose that coming together and having services and a ministry that not just natural men with natural minds, but an operation of the Holy Ghost, that gifts. The Bible said that he that descended into the lower parts of the earth before he ascended or went back to heaven, he gave gifts to men. That's a work that the Holy Ghost did, that God did through Christ. Christ came here with the having been born of God. The God Spirit was with him. Of course, he was formed and Mary's womb and took on the likeness of man. That's a difficult thing for to actually understand how God sent his son who was with him in the beginning and was in divine character and